Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your hosts, Jim Person and Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
Hello, Knife Junkie, and welcome to episode number 65. It's the supplemental edition of the Knife Junkie Podcast, and I'm the knife newbie, Jim Person.
And I'm the knife junkie, Bob DeMarco. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast. It is the place for knife newbies like myself and knife junkies like you and Bob to learn about knives and knife collecting. And I guess I should have not said it that way. I guess there are other, and hopefully other knife newbies that are joining us along on this podcast and, you know, can turn them like myself and the knife junkies at some point.
Yeah, Jim, it's been a year. It's been a year, actually, officially.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And at this point, I can't consider you a newbie. I mean, because you know the names, you're working your way into it, you have some taste of your own that you've developed. I've bought a few knives,
yeah.
Yeah, you've gotten a few knives as gifts, you've bought a few knives. You and I have even had a knife debate right here on this show. So I think that you are no longer a newbie. But if you want to...
No. I'm definitely not a junkie, so my newbiehood continues. Yeah. You know, I don't know at what point I'll transition from newbie to intermediate or whatever the next step is. But I'll still keep that moniker because I really feel like there's a lot I don't know yet about knife collecting. But yeah, that's a good point you made. About a year ago, we started this podcast,
and you've been a part of and witnessed many an interview with some of the top knife makers and manufacturers and tactical users, etc. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you probably have more of an education floating around in that prefrontal cortex than you know.
If I could just remember it all,
yeah, right.
I'd be a smart guy. Hey, speaking of knives and the transition from learning about knives to being a knife junkie, a great resource is the Knives 2020 book. And if you want to grab that, maybe as a great Christmas present, holiday gift, maybe just get it for yourself and also help support the Knife Junkie Podcast. You can, what's the old phrase? You can kill two birds with one stone.
Mm-hmm.
You can do both at one time by going to thenifejunkie.com/knives2020. That's thenifejunkie.com/knives2020. You can pick yourself up a copy of the Knives 2020 book, which is just a massive book, over 800-something full-color pictures,
A
lot of eye candy in there, so it's a great book.
It's a perfect word, eye candy. That's one of those books, obviously not the 2020, but they release one of these every year, and over the years, that's been one of my great lunch escapes. I'll leave work, go to the Barnes & Noble, or I used to go to Borders too, and find that book and pour over it and see what the new knives are, what's coming out, what's just recently come out, and then it's also an opportunity to see some crazy beautiful custom knives that you may not have had your eye on over the year. So, I mean, that book is awesome.
Well, speaking of books, one of our past guests, Bob Terzuola, he referred to him as the godfather of the
folding tactical knife. His new expanded version of his classic 2000, and when I say 2000, I'm talking AD, in the year 2000, he released the tactical folding knife. And it discusses the anatomy, purpose, and drive behind making the tactical folding knife, and what a tactical folding knife is actually comprised of. It's a very famous and classic book, and if you want to find it, you're going to pay a lot of money on the secondary market. Well, he just released an expanded version. It's out and available to people on the mailing list, his mailing list, and I'm assuming that that's an early release kind of thing, and that it will be available to the broader public shortly. But amazing guy with an amazing legacy, and this book I'm really looking forward to receiving mine. I just put my order in, so
should
be getting it soon.
Well, if you want to hear that interview, and it was really a great interview, a lot of history there, a lot of name dropping, and I say that in a nice way, the names of the past, and that had really kind of made knife making and knife collecting kind of what it is today. You can hear that interview, thenifejunkie.com/38. That was episode number 38 of the Knife Junkie Podcast. So just go to thenifejunkie.com/38, and you'll get a chance to hear that great interview with Bob Terzuola.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real deep dive into the history and legacy of what we all love today. So he's a cool guy, man.
Well, and regular listeners to our supplemental will know that we normally start off with knife life news, and we're kind of doing that, but in a different kind of way. We're having just a couple of quick things. The Bob T book was one of them, and then we want to do let you talk about a new knife drop. So not really setting it up with knife life news, because we've got a great show segment we want to get to today. We had talked about doing a holiday gift guide, but what we decided, or actually what Bob decided to do, was do a little twist on that. The top 10 carried knives of the Knife Junkie for 2019. So those can kind of help you guide any kind of knives you want to buy for the holiday season. But we'll get to that in just a second, because the question is, will this new knife from Todd Knife that Bob wants to talk about, the Shodan, will it become one of Bob's favorite carried knives of 2020?
Well, okay. So here's the deal. Terrell and Seth Todd of Todd Knife and Tool, they were on this podcast a couple weeks back, and they were discussing, we were talking about their design process and all this, and they were talking about a new knife that was about to drop. Well, it has dropped. It's called the Shodan. And it's a leaf-shaped blade, which is new from Todd Knife and Tool. They are very preferential to the Warncliffe-style blade, or the near Warncliffe. If you listen to that podcast, you'll know what I mean. But now they've come out with the Shodan, and it is a beautiful leaf-shaped blade on one of their sort of futuristic yet extremely ergonomic handles. Shodan is the name of a villain from a classic sci-fi horror PC game, which called System Shock 2, which I'm unfamiliar with, but I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And this knife has a nice blend of futuristic, angular shape and design, very much Todd Knife and Tool in the handle. And then as you extend out through the blade, it's this beautiful, as I mentioned before, curvy leaf-shaped blade. Now, it still has the design language of Todd Knife and Tool. It's got a beautiful fuller and opening hole, and the jimping is interesting. You just got to take a look. I'm sure you've seen it at this point, but this is a knife that when they showed me just on the video interface of recording the podcast, I thought immediately, that is a Mannix killer. That's a Shaman killer. You know, I was thinking of the blades that it was not even reminiscent of, but I would put on the same shelf if I had to categorize it. And it has that, like I mentioned, leaf-shaped blade, but it's got just a little bit more design and pizzazz than those other knives. And to me, I think it's going to be a great competitor for the Mannix and the Shaman. Take a look at it. It looks cool. Now, you said, will this be in my next list? And though I'm enamored with the Shodan, I think it's a beautiful knife, I have my eye on the Roxy 2. Or is it the 4? I'm sorry, the Roxy 4. It's their 4.
I'll get both. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. It's their 4-inch Warncliffe blade that came out recently from Wii. It's so cool. I got to get my hands on that. The Shodan will be a close second for me. But I think the Shodan will be a more useful and work-friendly knife to most people. So definitely check that one out. It's got a titanium handle, but it also has a couple of... It has a titanium, straight titanium, and then a black stone wash, and then it has two different kinds of carbon fiber, I believe. So a little bit something for everybody.
So new knife from Todd Brothers, Todd Knife and Tool, and Bob mentioned that episode, thenifejunkie.com/54. That was episode number 54 of the podcast, so thenifejunkie.com/54.
I would be remiss if I didn't say it is a Best Tech knife. So when you look it up, look up Best Tech Shodan. It's designed by Todd Knife and Tool, but it's under the Best Tech shingle.
Subscribe to the Knife Junkie's YouTube channel at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube.
All right, so let's get into it. Our main topic for the show this week, the Knife Junkie's Top 10 Carried Knives of 2019. And even though there's a couple of weeks left of 2019, I don't think anything's going to change his mind about his favorite knives over the past 11 months. And he tried to narrow it down to 10, but just couldn't do it. So, Bob, you've got some runners up for top 10 list that you want to start with.
It's more like 15. And let me just, as a preamble, let me say, I wanted to do top 10 knives of 2019, what you should buy. But then I realized, you know, this year was different for me in terms of knife buying and collecting. instead of kind of getting a lot of the new stuff that was coming out, I was more interested in finding some of the knives of some of the people I talked to, some of the people I interviewed, and also kind of culling down my collection, reducing and refining, as Epic Snuggle Bunny says, and kind of getting down to what is really, what are my real favorite knives. So my runners up, I'm going to start with two ever-present knives. And by that, I mean, they don't really go on the list because they've been everyday carry knives for years at this point. The first one is the Cold Steel Micro Recon 1. Micro Recon 1. It's a tiny, tiny little keychain knife. And yes, it is on my keychain. But it has all the materials that you'd find in an old school Micro Recon 1, including Aus-8A steel, which is fine for a 1-inch blade, 1-and-change-inch blade. And it's been riding on my keys for, I don't know, several years at this point. And this great little knife comes in handy when it's on your keys. Let me tell you, I've used it a million times. And being so tiny, it still features the triad lock, just a kind of scaled-down version of it. So, you know, you can still do pull-ups on it, on its 1-inch blade. But, yeah, that's a great knife. Rides on my keys. I kind of don't think about it, but I thought it deserved mention here, as does the CRKT Minimalist. That's a knife that we featured on the show a couple of times. And that knife comes in, that's designed by Alan Foltz, custom knife maker. And this is a tiny little three-finger knife, but never, ever has a three-finger knife felt so secure in your hands. It's like ergonomic perfection. And it also features a 1-inch plus blade. The one I've been carrying recently most often is the buoy-shaped. Now, they also have a Warncliffe, a recurve tanto, and a sort of karambit. They call it the karamin. And then the fourth is a drop point that comes in only black, I believe. But I've been carrying the buoy-shaped blade, which I got at Walmart for some $20 years back. And it rides on the back of my tag that I have to wear at work. I'm a tagged individual, and I need a pass to get in and out of work. And this thing is on the back and no one can see it. And then it's just handy. I don't have it there for anything other than pulling out and using whatever I need to open up a new knife package. So yeah, CRKT Minimalist and Cold Steel Micro Recon 1. They're sort of perennial favorites there. Now, I have three runners up, and they're runners up because, for various reasons. I haven't had them very long, but I see them being favorites in the upcoming year. Or whatever. The first one is the Cold Steel AD10, which I got with the AD15 at the same time. I hardly ever buy two knives at one time, but when those came out and were available, I snagged them simultaneously. Now, that was right around the time we talked to Andrew Demko on this show. And, setting myself up like that, I was like, well, since I spoke to the maker, I will never get rid of this. So it is a permanent player in my collection, but the AD10 is a knife I have found in my pocket pretty much every Saturday or Sunday when I'm out mowing the lawn and picking up sticks and raking leaves and doing all that crap in the back. It is a great utility knife. It's got a great utility shape and a seriously ergonomic handle. I got one of the earlier ones that has the hollow ground blade, which I'm preferential to, but it also now is out in a flat ground blade, which I can only imagine is just incredible because I have the Cold Steel AD15, and it's basically a very similar blade shape, same blade width, but with a full flat ground blade. So whatever AD10 you get your hands on, it's going to be worth it. Next is the Spyderco Delica Warncliffe serrated model. Now, this is something that since I received it only 2 weeks ago from our awesome listener, Stu, up in Vermont. He's got a company, incidentally, called Stone and Steel, and he goes to gun shows up in New England and sells knives. Check him out. Great guy. He sent me a Spyderco Delica Warncliffe serrated blade. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. It's 3 inches and serrated, and the Delica is a tried and true model. I've had one for a number of years. It's really a fantastic and extremely effective knife. And since we had Michael Janich on the show, Michael Janich carries one in his back pocket and has for quite some time. Stu got in touch with me. He said, I think you better have one of these because I carry one. Well, he carries the Endura, but, you know, same difference, just a little bit smaller. And he was right. It is an incredible knife, and I see it in the coming year being a standard player in my back left bandana pocket. That's where I keep my small 3-inch blades. Great knife. And then last of the runners-up is a tactical front. That means a front right pocket knife. My featured knife of the day. I carry a number of them, but there's a featured knife of the day. And we'll get into my knife weirdness at some point. But that rides in the front right pocket. And we're talking about the Bastinelli Creations Dragotac. And this one is made by Lion Steel. Now, Bastinelli, Bastien Coves, he's a French knife designer who makes nothing but the most elegantly beautiful, gnarly tactical knives. And this one is, the Dragotac has a sort of sax-shaped blade. It's like a curved Wharncliffe, and I know that is a diametrically opposed term right there, curved and Wharncliffe, but it looks like a Wharncliffe. It's got a slight curve to it. And it's an incredible utility knife. It's ground very thin, and I ground mine even thinner. And it's produced by Lion Steel from Italy. They make amazing knives. It's got a incredibly ergonomic handle, and it's pointy, sharpie, draw cutty, and it's got an amazing steel breaker on the tail end that doesn't affect the grip when you cap it with your thumb in reverse grip. So I just kept finding myself coming back to the Bastinelli Dragotac, but not quite as much as all the rest of the knives I'm about to mention.
Wow. And those were just the runners up, folks. And Bob did drop a couple of names there. I did want to mention Epic Snuggle Bunny was on the podcast twice, the most recent one with the Reduce and Refine that has kind of turned Bob's world around, if you will. Episode number 35, so thenifejunkie.com/35. Andrew Demko was on episode number 20, thenifejunkie.com/20. And Bob also mentioned Michael Janich. That was episode number 58, so thenifejunkie.com/58. So, if that weren't enough, just these wonderful runner-up knives, the one thing that I thought about when you were talking about those is I think you're going to have to find a pant design that has more pockets.
Yes.
Because you're running out of pockets to carry knives. But anyway.
That's so funny you should mention that.
Top 10 carried knives of 2019 for the Knife Junkie. I'm just going to turn my mic off, man, and let you go. I want to hear some of these top 10s.
All right. So the first four, I'm going to start with secondary knives. Now, secondary knives are knives I either carry in my front left pocket, and those are usually slip joints, or in the waistband of my pants. That's the third knife that I carry. And that's the knife. Now, this is just going into my brain. This isn't based on reality. It's based on what happens in my brain. So that in the waistband knife is the knife I rely on when I'm on the ground getting kicked by a gang and I have to pull something out and cut some ankles and stab some feet.
Which doesn't happen very often, by the way.
Yeah, bi-weekly basis, I guess I'd say. Like I said, this is a mind game. So anyway, but I'm going to start with the front left pocket. This year, I carried almost every day the GEC, the Great Eastern Cutlery number 14 Lick Creek Boys knife. Now, that's the smaller version of the number 15. And it's just a spectacular little slip joint knife. Now, the one that I have has the large clip point and then the small pen blade. And when I say small, it is small. And when this knife arrived, I put my edges on it and got it super sharp. And now this little thing is like a scalpel. I use the larger clip point blade for whatever I need to use a knife for in front of people at work. And then the small pen shaped blade, I keep super sharp and untouched. And I leave that in there just in case, just in case I have to do field surgery on someone, right? So the clip point blade has a beautiful patina on it because it's 1095 steel, and I encourage a patina, though I never force a patina. And it's got this yellow, what is it called? This is antique yellow jig bone handle. It's beautiful. It's an unexcelled version, so that means it's got the machine cut swedge and the long pull. Amazing knife. I highly recommend it. There are a couple other GECs that came out this year, chief among them the 83, and I want to get my hands on that. Next is the Benchmade Bug Out. Now, I'm not a huge Benchmade guy, and some Benchmades have come in and out of my collection, But one that will never leave is the Benchmade Bug Out. What a fantastic knife they created with the Bug Out. They made it sort of as an inexpensive, for Benchmade, sort of light backpacking knife. They're really going for lightweight, and they really nailed it. It's got an S30V blade. It's a drop point blade with very thinly ground, very sharp. And I bought that knife in the blue configuration. That was the original, the blue handle with the blue thumb studs. And then I swapped it out with Allen Putnam micarta scales, which I got from Blade HQ. And I'm just a sucker. Anyone who has ever listened to me yammer about knives knows I'm a sucker for micarta, and I just had to have these scales. So I put those on, and this knife is great for the back pocket. This knife is great for in the waistband. It's got a tiny little discreet clip, which I love, and I kind of wish they would put on more of their knives, even the larger ones. As you can see from some of the huge, gigantic cold steel knives, you can still put a smaller clip on them and A, not advertise that you're carrying a knife, but B, they do the work just fine. So Benchmade Bug Out with the Allen Putnam scales. Definitely, definitely a huge win. Next in my lineup, I just mentioned cold steel, so I'll mention this one next. This is the knife that rode in my waistband all year long, and until towards in the last couple of months, I started swapping it out with a couple of newer knives. But this thing I will never get rid of. This is the Cold Steel Broken Skull. And I have mine in pink, which incidentally you can buy on their website for a mere $40. I guess not too many of us tough guys want pink knives. But I got the pink for cognitive dissonance. And I added a Snaggletooth MF to the thumb stud. We've had Rob Penna from Snaggletooth on the show. He's the creator of this. It's a removable wave feature, basically. You can put it on any thumb stud knife where the thumb studs remove, and it will do your pocket deployment for you like an Emerson wave just beautifully. And I carry this one. It's very thin. The Cold Steel Broken Skull is very thin, and the one that I have is in CTS XHP. It's very hard for me to say. Sorry, people. They now make it in S35VN, but in any case, it just makes me feel, with this knife in existence, there is no excuse not to have 4 inches of super sharp, super steel on you at all times. So I carry this one quite a bit. Next is one of my favorites, and man, I carry this one a lot. It's probably my most carried fixed blade other than one that I made for myself this year. It's the Topps Rapid Strike. It's an incredible little, well, I'm not going to call it too little. It's a 4.5-inch blade and about a 4.5-inch handle, which incidentally is jimped all the way around, but in a comfortable manner. And this is a slim, stealthy little hideaway tactical knife. It is not one you pull out to cut your sandwiches, and it comes double-edged, or you can get it double-edged, which is what I did. This Rapid Strike is very, I keep saying small, but it's not very small. It's just very discreet. It tucks in the waistband very easily. I have it set up for reverse grip draw, and it's just a great little knife. Now, if you needed it for utility, it would be a great choice because most of the width of the blade goes almost all the way to the tip, but it is a drop point, so it's a very utility kind of oriented shape. That being said, for me, I ground off the glass breaker on the end of the handle to make it a little better in reverse grip, and I have it for my little fantasy gang fight knife. So that's the Rapid Strike by Topps. And by the way, I just ordered another thing from Topps because I was getting some other things on Amazon, and I figured, geez, I've been a decent guy this year. Maybe I should get this little. So I have a little EDC Topps coming my way, but I'll mention it when it comes.
You were playing Santa for yourself.
That happens this time of year.
Good excuses for it. All right, so those were four of the secondary knives that are front left pocket or waistband knives, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so those are four of the 10 top carried knives of the Knife Junkie for 2019. So I'm interested to find where these other six are on your body.
Well, some people. Okay, they're all in the front right pocket. But this next one is probably not a surprise and probably the most carried front right pocket knife this year. That is the Emerson Sax. I'm a sucker for Emerson designs. Pretty much anything he makes, I think, is beautiful and obviously extremely functional. Now, the Emerson Sax is the first knife I got from Emerson that has their single detent. They've always done sort of a double detent for keeping the blade in and also for keeping the blade out, I guess, or to keep tension even. Honestly, I'm not sure why they did the double detent, because they're doing the single detent so beautifully. Never have I had an Emerson this smooth, and I think they're all like this these days. But I'm just a sucker for that Warncliffe / Sax straight bladed shape. It looks kind of triangular and Viking-like, and I'm just into it these days. And when I saw about a year ago when Emerson dropped the Sax, I jumped on it. This knife, the only thing I've done to this is sand down the G10, which is a bit aggressive. And man, all of my pockets are so mangled. I have to kind of watch that now. In my younger years, I was like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. But now I'm kind of like, I don't need to be buying a new pair of pants just because the pockets are wearing out. So I sanded down the G10 on the clip side, and I got a deep carry MXG gear clip. I'm a sucker for MXG gear. Sort of like a Lynch clip, but in my opinion, better. It's got that spoon shape. So with that, I carry this thing all the time, and it flicks open like no Emerson I've ever had. So I think the new Emersons are all like that, and I look forward to getting the Quaken to check that out. So yeah, Emerson Sax. Next is a knife I've had a couple of years. That's the Zero Tolerance 0452CF. This is an Dmitry Sinkovich design, and to me, just the ideal of beauty and simplicity. But this thing is a nicely sized blade. It's got a 4.125, I think 4 1/8 inch blade. So it's a nice long blade. It's thin, and it's got carbon fiber. It's one of the few carbon fiber knives left in my collection. I've kind of been getting rid of the carbon fiber. It's just not my material. But I like how light it is, and on this particular knife, it's beautiful. Same thing, I did put the MXG gear clip on it, because this knife ships with kind of a goofy-looking Kershaw off-the-shelf clip. That's the one Achilles heel to this knife as it ships. But so I got the MXG gear clip on it, and recently, I think just from constant use, I feel like after 2 years of having this, it's finally broken in. Yes, I did take it apart, and I did do a little bit of tweaking to it, and now it is as awesome as everyone else's. I know Nick Shabazz always talked about his 0452 as just one of the smoothest knives he had, at least for a while. I know his collection has moved on. And I was always slightly envious, thinking, mine is not as smooth as his. And then I did a little bit of work on it and just opened it and closed it a billion times and started carrying it more. And the action is incredible. And I've just rebonded with this design. They also have a smaller version, the 0450, smaller, more pocketable to some people. But yeah, this knife featured largely this year. Next is the Hoag Ritter RSK1. This is the new version of what people might call the Ritter Griptilian. Doug Ritter of Knife Rights and other knife designs as well always had Benchmade as his OEM maker of his RSK knife. And Benchmade stopped doing OEM work altogether, including for Ritter, even though the Ritter grip was such a huge seller. And he took his design to Hoag. And Hoag, man, did they knock it out of the park with this knife. It's got a insanely beautiful and comfortable contoured G10 handle with a starburst pattern milled in, radiating from the pivot. And they did an update to the axis lock, which they call the Able lock. It's the same blade shape as the Ritter Benchmade Griptilian, but it is now in 20 CV steel, which is, magnificent edge-holding stainless steel. It's got a deep carry pocket clip and just is a fantastic cutter. It's ground thin from thin-ish stock, and then it's got a pretty high secondary bevel, a primary bevel. So it's a high performer, and though I'm not This is kind of a unique sort of selection for me to be carrying a lot in my front right-hand pocket. It's almost on the small side for me at 3.5 inches. And, you know, it's not as flashy as some of the other knives I tend to carry, but this thing is a beast and it's beautiful and the action is second to none. So yeah, the Hoag Ritter RSK1. Next, it's kind of in the similar vein, and that's just an outstanding EDC knife. Whether you like big knives or small knives, this knife is way up there. Kind of like the Hoag Ritter. And this is the ProTech TR3. Now, this is an old and vaunted design. It's an automatic, out-the-side automatic knife. And I bought one because I've always kind of loved the design. But then I saw a testimonial from a soldier, and I can't remember exactly who or where I saw this, who this guy was. But he was talking about how he had an older version of the TR3 with the fish scale pattern milled into the handle, which incidentally you can get now. They're making that currently, and you can get that on the ProTech website. We'll link to it. But he was talking about he had served for a number of deployments with his ProTech TR3 automatic knife, and at some point had lost it in some grime and grit, and then found it several years later, and it opened up like nobody's business. It opened up like it was brand new. And so I figured with that story and with my love of the design, I had to check it out. I got the SWAT version. TR3 SWAT is what it says on the side. And you know what? I like it. It's not cheesy at all. And it's got these beautiful milled fullers in the handle, which gives excellent grip. And it's got their hard anodized black finish, which I love, and I also love how it wears. It takes a while, but eventually it wears, and it looks cool, kind of Boba Fett, you know. So the ProTech TR3, if you can do automatics where you live, I highly recommend that knife. It's an outstanding EDC. Plus, you know, if you needed it for more than EDC, it would be more than adequate. Next is the, as another zero tolerance, as you know, I'm quite partial to them, even though I got rid of one this year. But that's okay. We'll talk about that later. This is the ZT-0640, another Emerson design. Ernest Emerson, I love his designs. I have knives from Kershaw from him. I have knives from Emerson from him. And I have knives from ZT from him. And this is one of my three ZT Emerson knives. The 0640 came out quietly at the end of 2018. And this is the one that you may know. It has the split pea soup green carbon fiber handle, and it's got no wave on it, which is somewhat unusual for an Emerson, but also kind of coveted. The Emersons without the wave are sort of seen as, seen as greater catches, at least when it comes to the Emersons. And so this knife is based on an older Emerson design. People can comment below and let me know what it is. I can't quite remember. Oh, the Viper, I think it is. Tell me if I'm wrong. But it's a very simple clip point bladed knife, and it's got a handle that's somewhat, or at least for an Emerson, who's definitely known for their ergonomics. This knife is very ergonomic, but it's also very neutral. You can hold this in any grip, kind of equally comfortably. And this is the knife that I'm calling kind of my Sebenza killer. And by that, I mean in my collection. I'm not saying it's out there displacing the Sebenza from popular fandom. But to me, it checks all of the Sebenza design boxes, but is just, to me, a little bit more exciting. And what I did with this knife is I got the MXG gear clip because it ships with the 0920 clip, which is just, well, it's substandard kind of fit. It doesn't leave you enough room for actual pants that people wear. It has very little ramp and it sits kind of low on the knife. So it's kind of a triple whammy. So I got the MXG gear deep carry clip for this. And then I got some natural micarta custom scales for it. When I say custom, actually, I'm misspoken. I actually got them from Blade HQ as well, but they're made for aftermarket, addition to your 640. And as I mentioned, I actually liked the color of the carbon fiber that comes on the knife, but I'm just kind of not into carbon fiber. And I'm really into micarta, so I made that switch, and ever since I did, I carry this thing all the time. It's a great knife. Oh, and by the way, it cuts beautifully.
Well, and it sounds like it's all been changed.
Well, yeah, you know, just the handle and the just the scales and
the clip, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
But the soul of the knife is there. The 20 CV clip point blade is there. And the, you know, the handle and frame, it's all there.
All right.
But yeah, if you look at it, it looks like a different kind of 640.
Okay. All right.
I got one more, Jim.
I know.
I got one more. And it is also an automatic knife. And it's a newish one in my collection. But man, have I been carrying it a lot. And this is a great in the waistband knife. And I'm talking about the Microtec Ultratec. Now, the version I got is from 2017, and they're not making this particular version of it, or I should say a configuration of it. So this configuration from 2017, this was made in August, by the way, has flat dark earth aluminum handle, which just looks great. I love the coloration. And it's double-edged with a serrated edge on top. And I got this from a great guy on Blade Forums. He gave me a great deal on it, and man, is this an incredible knife. Now, it's one of two out the fronts. No, I should change that. It's one of four out the fronts I have, but it's actually one of two of the fine ones. I have two Microtec out the fronts, and this thing is incredible. Now, it is a little weapony, and it is a little kind of frightening looking. You got the blade coming out the front, you know, with a hard spring action. You got serrations. They look kind of like teeth. It's kind of a gnarly knife at first glance if you're not initiated, if you will. But as a utility knife, this thing is amazing. I'm used to the other two out the fronts that I have that are kind of on the cheaper side rattle, make all sorts of humming sounds with the springs inside, and they just kind of seem like toys. This thing is for real, and it's a great tool, and it comes incredibly sharp. This would be an excellent utility knife, even though it looks scary and daggery, but having the serrated side and then having the plain edge side is actually quite handy. If you are in law enforcement and can carry this, or if you're in the military and can carry this, you get a lot of utility out of this thing, and they're super tough. It's got a glass breaker on the tail end, which, unlike the older models, has been rounded off with a tungsten ball at the end instead of a super pointy kind of pokey thing. It's a little bit more manageable when you brush your hand by it. It doesn't hurt at all, but it still breaks glass to beat the band. It's got a great deep carry pocket clip that'll accommodate fat tactical seams on your pockets. And an interesting thing I found out about this, which is only really relevant to the double-edged version of the Ultratec, but if you open it, you slide the lever forward and open the blade and then actually flip it in your hand so that the lever is down by your forefinger in the forward position, it has a very, very comfortable grip. So if you need to use that back serrated side and you flip it over, you have chimping from what is ordinarily the bottom side for your thumb ramp, and you have the lever that opens the thing up as your forward protection for your forefinger, and it works great. This knife is amazing, and I see myself carrying it a lot in the upcoming year, even though it's pretty new.
Wow. what can I say about all that? Five runners up and 10 knives that are the Knife Junkie's most carried of the year 2019. Man, what a list.
Well, Jim, you know, I was looking at what I think people should buy, and then I started thinking, well, I've never handled, but like the Three Rivers Manufacturing, the TRM Atom, looks like an amazing knife, and I can't wait to get my hands on one. I'm going to get one of those, and I would love to recommend it, but I just thought, you know, it's kind of disingenuous. I haven't carried it. I'm sure that everyone else in the world who loves that knife is being honest and true and has the experience to back it up, but I just can't do it myself. So there are a lot of great knives that came out in 2019, including lots of great budget knives from Civivi, for instance, and others, Bestech, but I haven't bought them, I haven't carried them, haven't held them. So I figured I'd stick to the ones I know And you know, all of you who are listening, you know who the reputable reviewers are on YouTube. Listen to what they have to say about some of the new knives I haven't mentioned here. But yeah, I thought I'd let you know what I've been carrying.
Right. Well, the 2020 list will no doubt be much different as you get your hands on a lot of these other knives. Christmas is coming, so hopefully you get some new knives that other folks have bought for you as opposed to you playing Santa and getting some for yourself. I want to ask you, and I'm going to give you a minute to think about this while I talk about something else, what your favorite of these 15 knives is. So let you think about that for a second. I'll give you a minute. I won't put you on the spot. But you did some name dropping there. I want to mention Rob Pinna from Snaggletooth MF, a past guest of the Knife Junkie podcast, actually on twice, episode 16 and 23, 16 and 23. You mentioned Nick Shabazz. He was on episode number 37. Doug Ritter, we were fortunate to be able to talk to him twice in the year, number 22 and number 29. And you also mentioned Hove Knives. We had Jim Bruins on episode number 47. So a lot of name dropping from the Knife Junkie, if you will. But a lot of these folks have been on the Knife Junkie podcast. And as we come out of the Thanksgiving season, I do want to say on behalf of the Knife Junkie and for myself, thank you to all these folks for being willing to be on the show and to help make the podcast that much better by having all these big names that you can talk to. So, without further ado, I'm going to put you on the spot. Of these mere 15 knives, what's your favorite?
I got to say, I'm really, really, really digging the Hogue Ritter RSK-1. I mean,
oh, okay.
It is, you might not think that because there are other knives that are more tactical, more my taste, I have to be totally honest. But this Hogue Ritter is just, it is awesome. It's an intersectional knife, if you will, because it's got the Hogue and the Ritter, and those are close to my heart because of my experience in speaking with them. But it's got an incredible 20 CV blade, and it's ground. Mine is ground so thinly and beautifully, but you know, with 20 CV, it's strong, and the edge retention is incredible. It's a great, great workhorse of a knife, but it's also got incredible aesthetic appeal with the beautifully milled G10, contoured G10 handle, with that radiating sunburst pattern. And finally, it's got the fidgetability factor, that able lock that they're using, which is sort of an improved, updated, if you will, access lock, as that patent has run out for Benchmade. People are jumping on that lock because it's an amazing invention. And this knife, it's got it all. It's got it all.
All right. Well, you did a good job of justifying your number one pick there.
Why, thank you.
And I want to ask our listeners if you are agreeing or disagreeing with the Knife Junkie about his favorite carried knife of 2019, or if there's a knife you own and you purchased and you carried that you think the Knife Junkie should add to his collection so that he could carry it and enjoy it as much as you did. We would love to hear from you. Please, 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 we'd love for you to call our listener line because you can leave a recorded message, and then that way we can share your thoughts with other listeners about what knife you enjoyed carrying for 2019. So please call the listener line at 724-466-4487. That's 724-466-4487. Again, you can comment about one of the knives Bob likes and is on his most carried list, or you can tell us what your favorite knife that you carried in 2019 was and is, and tell us a little bit about that. We would love to hear from you.
I think it'd be cool to put together a segment of a show just going over different comments we've gotten, people telling us what their favorites are.
That would be awesome, folks. Yeah. Need your help, though. Need your help. You got to call.
Yeah.
All right. As we wrap up this supplemental edition of the Knife Junkie podcast, I do want to remind you that one of our sponsors for the year, and we like to mention from time to time, is Ebates, now known as Rakuten. I want to say Rakuten, but that's not the way to pronounce it. It's Rakuten. Ebates, Rakuten, they're now part of the same family, and we've got a deal for you. If you like shopping and saving money, then you need to hear this. You can get cash back for your purchases just by using Rakuten. And because you're a loyal Knife Junkie listener, if you're not already a member, you'll get $10 for joining if you go to thenifejunkie.com/cashback. It's easy. I even use the Ebates Chrome extension, so whenever I go to eBay or another online merchant, Ebates, Rakuten will pop up and ask if I want to use the link and save money. Absolutely, I would. So shop like you normally would online and get cash back. Just go to thenifejunkie.com/cashback. Sign up. After you spend $25, you'll get $10 in cash. So thenifejunkie.com/cashback. Bob, a fun show, kind of looking back at the year and what you carried. Did it bring back memories?
Oh, wonderful memories, Jim. Wonderful memories of time spent with wonderful blades. But I just want to say in closing, Jim, and you know this as you've been a beneficiary, this year, give people knives as gifts. I know it's going to sound, of course you're going to say that. But you'd be shocked. I mean, I've given so many knives to people who didn't know they wanted them. And then they got them like, wow. I mean, the thingness of them, the actual thingness of knives is appealing to everybody. Just think about what you're getting for who. I got my mom an Opinel a few years ago, and my folks travel quite a bit. They take it with them everywhere they go. It's their little lunch knife. And, so think about what you're getting them. Don't just get what you think you like. But, get someone that you would never imagine giving a knife. Give them a knife for Christmas. Make it small, make it inoffensive, whatever it is. But you'd be surprised to see how people actually use them and actually start to really like them.
And I enjoy my gifts from the Knife Junkie. Wink, wink, hint, hint.
Christmas is coming.
I've gotten several knives from the Knife Junkie, and I treasure every one of them. So thank you, Bob.
My pleasure.
All right. Again, remind you, please call the Knife Junkie listener line. Leave us your thoughts. 724-466-4487. 724-466-4487. That is going to wrap it up for our supplemental edition of the Knife Junkie podcast. It's episode number 65. You can find show notes and links and more information at thenifejunkie.com/65. So for Bob, the Knife Junkie, DeMarco, I'm Jim, the Knife Newbie Person. Want to thank you for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, thenifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at thenifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on thenifejunkie.com/Instagram, and join our Facebook group at thenifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to Bob at thenifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.